Hi. I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. I'm Cassie.
And I'm the chump that doesn't want the help, Matt.
And welcome to You Haven't Seen This, a podcast where this sibling duo talks about movies that only one of them has seen.
Yes, and today we are continuing our season trend of classics with another classic comedy, the 1980 American parody film, Airplane! Exclamation point. Yes. So do I have to shout it? Airplane!
I'm gonna make the executive decision and say we're not gonna do that for this podcast.
Okay. We're not musical splaining.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry to be a little lame, but I'm just gonna.
I brought my scarf and everything.
Hey man, that sounds like a you problem. It really does. So let's get back to the point. So yeah, so this week we've watched Airplane. This is a movie that I have seen and Matthew has not. And like, yeah, that's kind of crazy that I've seen a movie that isn't like a Barbie film. That's what this season is proving, is that sometimes my parents make me watch movies. And sometimes those movies are pretty good and I want to show my brother.
And what it's also proving is that, I may have gone to film school, but I definitely wasn't a film major.
You know, it's all about breaking stereotypes. And that's what we're doing on this podcast. We're breaking boundaries.
We're building bridges. I'm here to be the representative for every person who went to film school and wasn't an annoying film bro who worshipped the ground Tarantino walked on.
Yeah. Didn't you say one time that you were going to write like a toxic film bro and it was going to be like Pulp Fiction poster on one wall, Joker poster on another wall, and like you talked about one other one.
I think probably I had made, when I had made that joke, Joker hadn't come out, so I'm pretty sure it was like, now Joker would be up there. It would be like one wall is Pulp Fiction poster over the bed, Inception poster in like the living room, and like Joker poster over the computer.
That's what it was.
That's toxic film bro coming to a theater near you.
Yeah. And speaking about toxic, you know, the food on that airplane was pretty bad. So that was kind of a rough transition, but let's get back to the point.
You know, that was at least a better attempt at a transition than half of ours usually, which is just kind of a pause I cut out and then. So what did you think?
You don't have to clue them into all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I think it's fun. We're in our second season. We're showing them. We're slowly revealing the curtain.
So because it seems like you won't ask me about my experiences with this movie, I'm just going to start talking about them so we can get on with this.
How did you come to this movie? I'm the one who's supposed to start with what my thoughts are before we go in. Oh. Oh, okay. She's like, I've seen one movie, I'm changing up the format.
Fine, go ahead, start talking.
All right. So, yes, I have not seen this movie. This is our most chaotic opening, I love it. Yes, so I have not seen Airplane. This is one of those movies that I have learned enough about just in it being referenced and knowing kind of what it looks like or jokes popping up in other stuff that it's enough that I'm like, okay, I recognize a couple of the jokes. I recognize some of these are, you know, jokes. I recognize enough of these jokes now to know that our parents love this movie.
They do.
And quote it a lot, and they have just become the joke currency in our family.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've never actually seen this movie. I know it's a parody of disaster films,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very excited to see that, because bad 70s disaster films are kind of something beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see not a bad disaster film, but something that is making fun of bad disaster films in a great way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what this movie really does. It's like, there's a disaster, but we're gonna kind of play up the absurdity of everything, and we're gonna make it extremely funny in the process.
So Cassie, how did you come to this movie before me? And how are you now my tour guide into it, you may say?
So first I just wanna say, thank you for coming back, even though I jumped the gun. Yeah, I just watched this movie with our parents one day. And I can't really remember exactly why we started watching that movie, but I watched it and I really enjoyed it. And then I can remember it was probably Christmas of last year, so Christmas 2021, maybe 2022, but probably just last year. Or 2020, rather. I'm not in the future.
Yes, I had that hot moment. I think you meant 2020 as well.
Yes, that's what I meant.
I had the hot moment, too, of just being like, I'm in the wait, future. We've not gotten to Christmas of 2022.
I'm in the future. That's my, you know how we're talking about time travel, like, a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
That's me. It's still on my mind. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as I was saying, I probably watched it during Christmas one of these past few years because I was finishing up with school and was kind of stressed, and my mom suggested that we watch a movie. And we always record, like, the classic Christmas movies, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Year Without a Santa Claus and stuff like that.
And we've all seen them multiple times, which is why Polar Express is probably going to be our one Christmas movie.
Hey, man, you never know.
True.
You never know. But anyway, so we had all those recorded, and that's what the DVR looked like. But Airplane was also in there, because my dad, like, he probably recorded it and then, like, didn't erase it or didn't watch it. And so I was like, can we watch Airplane? Like, I kind of want to watch that. And my parents were like, yeah, man. And so that was the most, like, that was the most recent time I watched Airplane. It's a Christmas movie now. No, it's not. We can make the argument that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. We cannot make that argument for Airplane.
We can't say it's not a Christmas movie.
I guess technically, but that's not the direction I'm interested in taking this podcast in. But yeah, I watched it with my parents. I've watched it with them at least twice, maybe like three times, but probably twice. And I really enjoy it. I like the movie as a whole. It's funny and it still holds up. I can't say that I laugh at some of the jokes like as hard as my parents do, just because there's maybe like an extra layer of reference that they understand that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still pretty, the comedy is still pretty accessible. It's not just like steeped in cultural references that mm-hmm. you needed to be there. You needed to be an American who was consuming a lot of media in the 70s to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate that. And yeah, I really like this movie. I don't watch it super often, but when I do watch it, I really enjoy it. So I'm excited to get to show you.
Well, I am excited to watch. And you know what? We actually have to get going. We got to check in for our flight and catch this.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that, and when we touch down, we will take you through Airplane.
I traveled the banks of the River of Jordan to find where it flows to the sea. I looked in the eyes of the cold and the hungry, and I saw that I was looking at me.
Dang, that was an awful flight.
Yeah, kind of a bumpy landing, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, who was flying this thing?
I don't want
to
know.
Was he in the war? Who's to say?
No clue.
But yes, we have just freshly watched Airplane 1980, and I am going to pass the mic to you, so to say. Tell me all your thoughts about this movie.
Let me take this mic. That was lovely. That was very funny. I mean, that was a good, solid. It reminds me of another movie that my friends love, and I've seen a couple of times, and maybe we'll have them on the podcast to talk about it, Top Secret.
Mm-hmm.
In that it's a, let's take a premise and then let's just throw jokes at the wall every like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep hitting you with joke after joke after joke after absurdity, and just, you know, maybe some of them aren't gonna stick, but it's okay. There's another one coming 10 seconds later, so just keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's really good writing. A lot of them stick more than flop.
Yeah, I'd say there are jokes that flop, but they're pretty few and far between. Yeah. I can't, like, I can think of them because we just remembered the movie, but I can also think of, for every one joke that didn't stick, I can think of maybe 3-4 that did and that I really liked.
And I think the jokes that don't flop, that don't really hit are, you know, just due to this being an older movie, they say that comedy ages the poorest.
Yeah.
And it ages the quickest. And that, you know, that has to do both with, like, changing attitudes of, like, can we make jokes about this, blah, blah, blah. But also in just the very basic of, like, oh, I don't get this joke because it was a very specific pop culture reference. You know, it's like, how many of those Gangnam Style jokes are just going to be unintelligible in 20 years?
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I really liked it. Like you were talking about with the writing, I thought it was really good. I thought all the, like I said, like basically all the jokes were really solid and they still stood up. Yeah, I loved the I love the absurdity of everything of like, it's a little hard to put into words, but just everything is just kind of like elevated and like it's just kind of like kind of outrageous in a little bit of a way. Yeah, and it's just it makes for just good comedy, and I laughed a lot and I had a good time even though I knew a lot of the jokes were coming because of the sheer volume of jokes. I forgot a lot of them, forgot a lot of visual gags.
There's a lot of visual gags. This movie was great because so much of it does rely on visuals, which makes it a little hard to talk about on a podcast.
But we're still gonna make do.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was the visual gags that I think... We watched this at the same time. This episode will have already come out, but we watched it at the same time as a Monty Python and the Holy Grail. We watched this one right afterward. And I definitely, like, noticed that one of the differences between the two of them is that there was a lot more, like, visual, like, there were more sight gags, more comedy that relied on what was happening on screen compared to Holy Grail.
Yeah, Holy Grail was a little more of a talky comedy. Whereas this, you know, there's great jokes we're saying, but a lot of times the joke is... either what's going on in the background as it's being said or, you know, what's happening in spite of. You know, there's a lot. Like, God, the one that killed me was the little... was when the stewardess is like, can I play you a song? For, like, the little sick girl. And she starts jamming out of the guitar and, like, rips the IV out of the girl's arm. And it's just... that little girl was giving it. She's just... her face is... she's like...
she's like fish out of water, like grabbing at her arm, like
trying to get people's attention as everyone's like, oh, this is great, what a lovely song. It had me in stitches. It was so good.
It was really good. Another visual gag that I really liked was oh my gosh, what was it? Oh, it was when they, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. When the co-pilot Roger got sick, and he's played by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it had been established when the kid came into the cockpit that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar plays for the Lakers in the Airplane cinematic universe, and he is, I guess, undercover
as
an airline pilot, and he gets sick and he passes out, and they have to pull him out of his chair, and he's wearing like, he has like a dress shirt and a tie on because like that's what he was wearing, but then he has goggles off. And he has like yellow Lakers shorts and like the knee-high socks, and it was just one of those sight gags where it's like you could have just pulled him out of his chair, but instead you put him in half of his basketball uniform, and that made it infinitely funnier.
Exactly. And it's not continuous with the rest of the shots, which makes it funnier.
Yes. Yeah. That was really good. The visual gags were good. The section, like, in the beginning, where it's the section about, like, fiction, nonfiction, And then there's all of the porn magazines, and it has its own label.
That's fantastic.
It was, yeah, there was that.
The gag that opens the movie, or the running gag of just the announcers being like, the white zone is for loading and unloading, the red zone is no parking. And then you go inside the airport, you come back out, and it's like, the red zone is for loading and unloading. No, Bob, it's...
They're just fighting with each other.
And then every time you keep coming back, there's just...
It's another marital problem.
Yes, it's a marriage. It's just a couple, like, having problems. It's so stupid.
It was great. I think before we just start going into all the things that we liked,
yeah,
like all the specific jokes, which we will talk about later.
Yes.
What did you think about, like, the writing in particular? Because that's kind of what you're interested in, what yes. you do.
Yes. I thought it was all just very, very snappy, and it knew exactly what it was trying to do. So, like, I love how it's built almost, if you take out the jokes, it's basically built like a, you know, kind of 70s rom-com, where it's, you know, I gotta get her back, but I gotta, you know, get over this issue, and it's, you know, this, so that main relationship between, it's Elaine and Ted?
Yes.
Between the stewardess and the pilot, her boyfriend, or her boyfriend who winds up landing the plane. That was very, like, romantic drama, kind of a bad romantic comedy that would be at the center of a lot of disaster movies. And I love that was very, like, so that's so grounded, which makes everything else being so farcical and out of there, like, just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that makes the comedy in this one work, and what makes a lot of really good comedies work, is it takes it serious. You know, it's a world where what I'm saying and what I'm doing as the character is, to me, 100% serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is life or death, and this is how I'm reacting. But to me, to the audience, this is so clearly, like, out of line with our logic that it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it did a really good job at getting those down. And that's why I think it has stayed the test of time outside of, you know... That's why I think this has stayed the test of time when other, you know, comedies from this era really haven't. Even when it dips into, like, you know, pop culture reference and stuff, that there were a few, like you mentioned, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joke, and when that set up to that joke earlier of the little kid in the cockpit being like, I know you, you're blah, 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 I had to lean over because, number one, I'm not a basketball fan, and number two, I certainly wasn't watching the Lakers in 1980. So I had to be like, is that joke that that's actually Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Because if it is, that's really, really funny. And you had to be like, yeah, that is.
I would just also like to point out that he, and I don't fault him, he didn't get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He did get Ethel Merman, though.
Yes. Well, that's also because that, The joke in the flashback where it's like, oh, that poor captain or whatever, you know, he got bad shell shock, he thinks he's Ethel Merman, and then it cuts to, it's her doing Everything's Coming Up Roses,
mm-hmm.
and in her very particular style of voice. So it's like, all right, that's her, and that's great.
Yeah.
This was the movie where a bunch of, like, orderlies had to wrestle down and shrink Ethel Merman in a military hospital. That's great.
Yeah, it's good. I think, going off of what you were saying, I think I can enjoy... I think there are some comedies that can work when the people playing it up understand that it's silly, but I think, in general, it's so much more effective when the people... in the movie, the play, whatever, they are like, no, I'm absolutely serious. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a joke. Like, I'm just acting as though I normally would. And that's, it's just so much funnier, because like you were saying, it mm-hmm. completely goes against the logic of are, you know, the reality we live in. And that's what just makes it so, so funny and so enjoyable.
It's just more effective than, like, the... You see this in a lot of comedies nowadays, I find, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it just, it's more effective than when it's, like, there's a joke and you're, and the actor just, like, mugs to camera and just, like, you know? The, like, the Office, like, turn to the camera deadpan meme, that works when it's not, like, that works because those shows aren't super silly. When it's a comedy that is very sort of silly, it's, It works better when it's, like, deadly serious. It works better when, to, you know, the person delivering this objectively stupid line, this is deadly serious.
Yeah, and that's what just made everything... That's what just made everything so much better, because it was like, wow, we're really in a really dire, perilous situation. Like, we have all of these sick people on the plane, and he needs to land it, or else, like, you know, terrible things are gonna happen. And, you know... We have, you know, a nun slapping someone, and we have, we've got, you know, someone ripping out someone's IV, and we've got the people, you know, sitting next to Ted, like, committing suicide because they don't want to listen to, like, his life story. Like, it's so much funnier when it's that.
The, sorry, the slapping gag.
It was so good.
Of the woman losing it and just going, snap out of it. And then it's like the next person. And then it escalates. And then it cuts to the line. And the woman has a gun.
Yeah, it's a crowbar and a wrench and a gun and a bat. And they're just like, let me handle this.
That was so good.
It was.
And I think the choice of making it a parody of disaster films was perfect. I mean... It works that it was, you know, 1980, and, you know, this is disaster movies were really the heyday with stuff like Earthquake, Towering Inferno, stuff like that. But I think what makes it really work is, like, those movies are so, like, super serious. Like, there's one I've seen a couple times because there's an MST3K episode about it, Avalanche, and that movie is, like... It's deadly serious, despite the fact how stupid the premise is. And that's what makes it, like, a bad funny. It's, like, a funny they didn't intend, is that this whole thing is... You know, everyone's treating this like it's the most serious thing that could possibly happen. I mean, it's a disaster movie. It's a natural disaster. It's you know, oh, this is intense, and it's a fight for our life. And the reason it works so well is you just keep that acting, but you just change the script so that what everyone's saying and doing is, like, the last thing anyone would say or do in this situation, logically, and it just works so well.
It does. It does work really well. Were there any parts of the movie that you think didn't work or could have been improved upon?
I think... The only thing I could think of are just the flashbacks. When Ted's kind of talking about him and Elaine, how they met. That's the only part of the movie I felt was like, okay, it wasn't hitting as strong. It went on a little long. Those are the only parts where I was like, okay. But then I think the first one, when it cuts back and the woman next to him is just, you just see her feet hanging. It's just such a dark joke, but it saves the, like, you as the audience are like, this is kind of long and boring. Oh, God, it was even worse. And then having that as the running theme was kind of great. Even if we got our third of the season,
yeah,
80s movie, not respecting other cultures.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, You know, one thing that I would change just with my 2022 sensibilities was just, like, you know, some pretty not great depictions of you know, people of color and, you know, indigenous people and just people of different cultures in general. You know, not great.
Yeah, gosh.
Yeah.
We really kind of lucked out. Well, I guess, is it still... I was about to say, we lucked out with Monty Python, but is it racist? Are the French... Do we consider the French another race? Is that still racist?
I'm gonna say, no, we don't.
Okay.
And no, it's not.
Okay.
That is my not controversial, not brave opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there is that, but they don't rely on those. They're still not good jokes, and it's also like, not even like, because it's like, you know, an insensitive joke to make, but they also just like weren't super funny jokes, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, they just generally weren't super funny. Mm-hmm. So like, they could have done without them, but the movie was not like predicated on them.
Yeah.
So it makes it very easy to like, okay, skip past them. Like, you know, they don't take up a lot of room in your mind because there are so many other really funny parts of this movie.
They're one-offs that I even had to be like, oh yeah, that was a part that we kind of mentioned while watching it. It's like, we got another one.
Yeah, but like, they're pretty short and not super consequential when like there's a joke 10 seconds later about something completely different.
There were a lot of other funny jokes, so they are like, you know, it will pass through your mind, mm-hmm, very quickly.
Yeah.
So there's so much other good stuff.
Yeah.
In this movie. What are some of your favorite jokes?
Ooh.
You know, this is very like Sophie's Choice, picking your favorite child.
I definitely have several like favorites, or just ones that I really enjoyed. I know this isn't one, okay, this isn't like one of my top ones, but I know that one that is always quoted in my family is Ted and his drinking problem, and how he, for those who have not seen the movie, Ted has a drinking problem, and by that it means he can't get water, like he can't get a cup of water up to his mouth, he'll like throw it at his face, and that's just kind of a thing throughout the movie. We'll just like, oh, his drinking problem is acting up, and it's just him throwing like a glass of water over his shoulder. He has a drinking problem. But yeah.
And that's another, like, that would be such a, like, belabored, super serious point, mm-hmm, in, like, an actual disaster, like, drama,
mm-hmm,
where it's like, he's gotta fly this plane, but he's an alcoholic, and so just making the joke that it's like, oh no, he just can't drink, like, the physical verb, like, of it.
Yeah.
No slang there. It's like, he has a problem physically drinking.
Yeah.
It's a great little inversion on that plot point that would have been so just super serious.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Some, I guess, kind of rapid fire, what are ones I liked? I liked when the reporters came into Mission Control and they were like, all right, boys, let's get some pictures. And they just started taking photos off the wall. It just like photos of planes and just like stuff like that. Just started taking them off the wall.
That caught me out of nowhere, honestly.
It was good. It was good. I also really enjoyed, like, it was a wife, and it was a husband and wife, and the husband is like, oh, I'll have a second cup of coffee, and it kind of zooms in on her, and she kind of, like, pensive, and she's, like, thinking, like, Ted, like, he never has another cup of coffee at home, and then the husband gets very ill later, and he vomits into, like a bag, and she kind of does the same thing, she kind of looks off, and it's like, he never vomits at home, like, it's very, like, it's very much like, who is this man? It's like, he never does this at home.
I was kind of waiting for that to get a little bit more payoff, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's one of those where it's like, that would be the, like, if they were the protagonists, mm-hmm, of this movie, like, that would lead to a confrontation about, oh, he's cheating on her, or he's lying or something.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's like, they're minor characters, and that's never... There's other stuff that's paid off later.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
I love the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joke. I just love how, you know, the kid...
He was great in it.
Just, like, the kid, like, he comes up into the cockpit, and he's like, I know you, you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm Roger. I'm an airline pilot. And then he, like, keeps going, and he gets increasingly more irritated until he, like, grabs the kid by the front of the shirt.
So your dad like, dragged Chamberlain up and down the court for 40 minutes.
Exactly. And he just kind of, like, lets go, and is like... Nope, I'm Roger. Like, that was pretty good.
That was great.
What are some of your favorites while I maybe think of some of the other ones that I liked?
Oh, they're so great. I have to give MVP status to Steven Stucker as Air Traffic Controller Johnny. just every scene that man is in, all of his lines are great, and his delivery is great. So what do you make of this? Well, it could be a hat or a brooch.
How about some more coffee? No, thank you.
I'm gonna be using that too much.
One that is also often, very often used in our family is, there's just a man, he goes, you know, the fog is getting thicker. And Johnny leaps into screen, like grabs his stomach.
And Leon's getting larger.
And then leaps out of screen. It would have been funny, but it was the leaping that really sent me.
That's the kind of energy I want to bring to everything I do.
Yeah.
That little chaotic gremlin energy. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, he was great.
That's good. We brought up the Ethel Merman joke, but that's still fantastic.
It's really good. There was the lady that you commented, the lady doing her makeup while like the plane is crashing, and she just like has colors smeared all over her face.
And then she still has it in every scene, which is wonderful.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm here now. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good jokes. God,
there's so many good ones.
There's like just like the beating up all the religious people at the airport. They're just like, it's all these people.
When like, the one like the captain is coming in to like save everything, talk the guy out of the sky, and it's just, would you like to sign up?
And he's just like over the shoulder, punching the gut, just like fighting all of them off.
He goes like full on Bruce Lee mm-hmm. on all these, just like, how about Buddhism?
Yeah.
Scientology.
Exactly.
By the way, if you're ever approached by someone asking you about Scientology, that is the correct way to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, get a website made about you. There was just a lot of really... Oh, I loved the, one of the stewardesses, Randy, she's, like, very upset. It's, like, near the end of the movie, they're about to start landing. And she's like... I'm so scared. I've never been so scared in my life. I'm 26 and I'm not even married. And then one of the woman who has a sick husband, she kind of comes up because Randy's speaking to the doctor on board.
And the doctor's trying to calm her down.
Yeah, she's trying to let. And so that woman comes up and is like, oh, when do you think we'll be landing? Blah, blah, blah. And they talk for a little and she goes, well, at least I have a husband. And the stewardess just breaks down in tears.
That's so sad.
Stupid. So stupid, but it's so good. I also loved one of the flashbacks when they were, when it was Ted and Elaine on the beach, and he was talking about, like, the mission they were about to have, and he gives all these specifics, like, when, where, how, and then she's like, when will I see you again? And he's like, that's classified.
Another bit I love in that scene is how I feel like I've seen that scene done as a joke. More than I've seen it done, really, of them, like, lying on the beach in the surf, and then they just, water completely crashes over them.
And then there's, like, fish, and, like, kind of, like,
and then they're covered in seaweed, and, like, gross fish, like, flopping. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
This is one of those movies that I call, like, silly or stupid, and I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
It's, like, this movie knows what it's trying to do. And it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's overall, it's a very strong movie.
Yeah.
It's consistently funny. I exactly, just like echoing again what you were saying, just the seriousness of everything in the plot made the absurdity of all of the dialogue and the visual gags just made it so much funnier.
And it never wastes an opportunity for it. It's like, let me make this joke. Let me make this joke on top of this joke. Let me do something completely absurd to, like, add to this, like, otherwise really dull scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking the scene where the guy from the airline comes to get Captain Kramer or mm-hmm. whatever, and, like, the dog is, like, attacking him and completely, and then he comes down, he puts, you know, the jacket on, he's looking in the mirror, and it cuts back to the other guy, and then it cuts back to the captain, he's like, all right, time to go, and he just walks forward through the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, It was good, yeah. There was never an opportunity missed to make a joke. It was like jokes on top of jokes. Like, Shirley, you can't be serious. Of course I am.
Don't call me Shirley. Shirley.
Yeah, it was just good stuff. How would you rank this movie in terms of other comedies that you've seen or other types of comedy that you like?
Ooh. This was very good. This is up there style-wise with probably one of my favorites that's come out in the past few years, Barb and Star, Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh, yeah.
Which is unfortunate that you've seen it, because I would totally watch it for the pod.
I simply will forget it.
You know what, we might have to bring a guest on.
Maybe.
It would probably be up there with a movie like that, in just, it's like, it's stupid, it's feel good, it just gives everything. I like it better than Top Secret, which is the other movie I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little stronger. It's really solid. I mean, this is, sometimes you go and you watch a classic, a movie that's like considered a classic, and you're like, really, is this it? Like, mm-hmm. That was hot, film kid hot take. That was me watching Chinatown. Maybe because I had to read the script like 4 times before I ever actually watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one that you're like, oh, this is why it's a classic. This is why it's on, you know, every AFI list or whatever list of, you know, the top 10 or the top 50 best film comedies of all time. It's like, oh, this is why this movie's usually at the top of those lists.
Mm-hmm.
It's really solid. It's really funny. The stuff works. Even the jokes that kind of flop are still a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a ton of those. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is solid. If you haven't checked it out, if you haven't watched Airplane yet, give it a watch. This is a solid, hearty endorsement.
Speaking of ratings, what rating was it that was kind of funny to us? Like, where it was, like, who did that ranking?
Oh, yeah. So, this was just a while ago, because, like you mentioned, we watched Monty Python and this movie, like, back-to-back, basically, on the same night. It was just a random, like, ABC Best in Film retrospective, mm-hmm. from, like, 2011. And I saw it because I was just doing a little research for Monty Python on the wiki page of, like, oh, and this was the second best comedy according to this ranking. And I clicked on it, and the number one comedy according to that ranking was Airplane.
So that night we got number one and number two.
According to the American Broadcasting Company.
Yeah.
From, like, 2011, so...
you know, most reliable source.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. I would say, in terms of other comedies that I like, I mean, like I've said numerous times, I really enjoy this movie. I think it's just one of those movies I kind of forget that I like. And it might also be because I've watched it now. It's probably, like, third, maybe fourth time of watching it. So, like there's less... it's less so, like, a surprise with the jokes and more, like, anticipation. And just, like, a surprise with the jokes that you forgot were coming or new things that you noticed. I noticed that a couple of times. I noticed a couple of the smaller, like, sight gags more. But, yeah, I really like this. I enjoy, like, deadpan serious acting with humor.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, there was a time when I just, like, made all my friends watch Oh Hello on Broadway. And it was, like, it was so funny because they were, like, this is art. Like, it was John Mulaney and Nick Kroll as
these characters as who are, like, we're deadly serious, we're making art, but are just so outlandish.
It's just so outlandish, and that's just what I really love and appreciate that. And I think that just makes everything just so much better, so much more enjoyable.
It's the counterpoint. I feel like when a comedy is not good, more than just, like, I don't like the jokes, it's when it's, like, it's crazy people in crazy situations doing crazy things, and it's, like, I feel like comedy works best when there is that contrast. It's mm-hmm. either, like, people acting normally in insane situations, or like people, like the most outlandish people in the most normal setting.
Exactly. There needs to be like a juxtaposition to actually like to make the comedy work. And that's what this did, like hit the nail on the head with that one. So I really like this movie. I'll probably be, if I assume that my friends haven't watched this yet, but I probably will recommend it to them. Might have them check it out, just because it's good. And I think it's something that, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people would enjoy.
If you're out there listening.
Hey, besties.
Any of Cassie's friends.
Hey, besties. Yeah. Like, if you're out there listening, maybe we need to have sleepover. Maybe we need to watch Airplane.
Hey.
That might be fun. Might be fun.
Hey.
But yeah. So I know that we've kind of, it feels like we've given all of our thoughts, but kind of one sentence summary, final thoughts about this film.
Quality comedy has stood the test of time for a reason. Two thumbs up. Give it a watch.
And you know what? I don't have anything else to add. So just imagine that I said that too in my voice. So thank you all very much for listening to this week's episode of You Haven't Seen This. We hope that you will check out our other episodes. We hope that you will subscribe and like this podcast. It really helps us, you know, kind of get boosted in the rankings and get noticed. It really helps us out. And we hope you all have a great day. And we hope that your next flight is not as chaotic as the one in Airplane.
Thank you for choosing You Haven't Seen This. Bye-bye now.